Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Tessa Richter has been exploring since early on creativity and artistic expression, first within the given structures of Western classical music as a classical flutist, with an international career performing and teaching. Later, she delved into inner realms, accessing her own individual structures, thus becoming a professional painter and sculptor with international exhibitions, as well as a composer who has published 3 CDs with her own music. Based on her experience and skills as a performing musician and creative artist, she's been coaching business people, helping them find their calling or simply the next step in their career. She uses traditional coaching methods as well as more unconventional ones such as imagery, meditation, and guided inner journeys, and also helps people market and present themselves before an audience. Hi, Tessa. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Happy to be here.
I'm really excited. Oh, yeah, definitely across the world, because I'm in Australia, and where are you?
I'm in Switzerland.
I know.
The other side of the world, completely.
That's excellent. I'm really excited to share your story, so shall we get started?
Yes, sure.
All right. So do you want to tell us about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Right now, I've changed careers for the about third time in my life, completely, this time. Yeah, and I've become a coach for business people, and that's like my main thing at the moment. I help people who want to change careers or who have to change careers to find something meaningful to do, and that's also going to pay their bills. Basically, my main thing at the moment, and I do a lot of writing as well.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. So do you want to tell us a bit about your story? Like, where have you been to get to this point?
Yes, sure. I grew up in different cultures with different languages. So that's a really important thing, I think, about myself, about my background. So learning to think and act in different cultures and languages. So I went on to study languages at university. But my real love was music. And I switched to music, and I became an international performing flutist, teaching, coaching, performing. I had my own group, it's classical music, chamber music group, played in orchestras, and did what I really wanted to do, and then stopped, which most people couldn't really understand because I had an international career. I was doing well. I was earning my living. I had started to paint before I stopped. So I had already started on my second career as an artist, as a visual artist, exhibiting and selling my paintings. But when I stopped performing, I did need a source of income. So the obvious thing was to use my languages. And I started teaching business people in Switzerland. I started teaching them German. I went into businesses, and this was a whole new world. It was very, very difficult for me, coming from where I was coming from in this business world. It was really difficult. But, it enabled me to start composing. So I published my first 3 CDs with my own music. And I also wrote my first book. And then because I was, teaching business people, I had gone into companies and had started to learn how to deal with this totally different class of people, I was asked to do some coaching. First, as a so-called spouse coaching, in other words, expats who come to Switzerland, usually men, sometimes women, bring their spouses, and the spouses don't really necessarily have something to do here. So the coaching was not about, you know, where do your kids go to school and where's the best place to go shopping and that kind of thing. It was about helping the spouse find a meaningful pursuit. And because of my background, you know, I was asked, because I have this international background and because I was also into business by that time. And that's how I started. And the same company later asked me to do some outplacement coaching. I don't know if you know what outplacement is, or new placement. It's people who lose their jobs, basically. Companies have started to offer them a package that includes a coaching package of 3, 6, or 9 months, where those people are supported through the coaching in on the one hand in dealing with the situation, but also in terms of, you know, how best to present themselves in terms of CV, interview, etc. Yes, so that was like a complete new life for me, starting out as a musician, ending up as a coach for, you know, business people. And it was a challenge at first, and I didn't think, you know, it would be so easy. But once I started, I realized that I had all the ingredients. You know, being on stage, I did know how to present myself and, you know, how to help people present themselves. I had changed careers myself several times, maybe because I was also always very interested in other aspects that I haven't mentioned so far, which were meditation and where does inspiration come from? How do we connect with inspiration? That was in music and in art. And all of those things, I'd always been coaching and teaching. So in a way, it's really quite easy at the moment. So that's what I'm doing. I'm helping. And I feel like I can really contribute more than maybe just a your typical business coach, obviously, because of my background.
Yeah, it sounds like a fascinating journey. So on the way, you've obviously had those tipping points of change, like going from your music career to the languages to the business coaching or the career coaching. What were those tipping points for change, do you think?
Well, maybe I'll start with the last one. So apart from the fact that I was asked, you know, by this company to do this, I have to add that several years ago, I was quite sick, and I asked myself, I'm used to doing soul searching because of my whole journey. So I kind of stepped out and I thought, okay, well, I've always followed my inner voice. You know, I've done what I've done. I've created, I've been expressing myself. How come I'm sick, you know, seriously sick? It just didn't make sense and it felt wrong. And then, of course, it made me question everything I've done so far and, you know, what was wrong? Why was I getting sick? I shouldn't be sick because I was always this, you know, expressive, artistic, plus spiritual, plus you name it, you know. And I kind of got this inner answer that I'd learned to love others unconditionally, but I hadn't learned to love myself unconditionally. So I call that like the missing piece of the puzzle, you know. And that started a whole new journey. And I stopped doing everything I had done. I wanted to open up myself to see, okay, what does life really want from me with this, you know, happening? And for a while, I wasn't doing anything professionally. And I didn't know where it was going to go. And then this came along and I knew, okay, even if it was a challenge, that this was the right next step. So that was a very important turning. So in this case, getting sick.
What about from the music to the languages? Like when you stopped music, people were questioning you, why did you stop it? And that, was there a reason for that? Or you just, you know, decided, no, this is the right time for me?
You mean when I stopped playing music?
Yeah.
I just felt that in music, I had done what I wanted, what I set out to do. I had really explored many different ways of expressing on the flute. And in classical music, the flute is fairly limited. I had even transcribed violin music. I had gone into Japanese flute music, Indian music, I started to improvise. American native, you know, Indian flute music. I'd done Indian music. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I'd explored, and I just felt that I'd reached a point where I wasn't going any further. Mm. And I think I needed to stop performing for enable to later start composing.
Yeah, I like that.
I needed
that.
To get out of classical music altogether, yeah. you know, to, yeah. And I think I couldn't have gone straight from performing to composing, because in classical music, that is very, very set. I mean, there's nothing you do that's just from you, except the interpretation. But as far as the structure of the music goes, you don't have a say, if you like, you know. And by painting, I kind of started exploring that I was creative on my own without. And when I did start painting, it was also, I thought about doing like a training, professional training. And then I thought, no, what I really want to explore here is what comes out of me if nobody tells me this is the way to do it. This is right. This is beautiful. You know, this is not acceptable. But just if I allowed it to come out of myself, if you like, that was what I wanted to explore there.
Yeah, I love that. So what about, like, when you've gone along on your journey and you've obviously had a couple of changes, what challenges have you had along the way that made you feel like throwing in the towel?
Well, when I was sick a few years ago, that was certainly one of the bigger challenges. I mean, for one thing, I think it was the first time I was confronted with death, like, you know, literally. And the challenge there was, okay, do I follow my inner voice, which is what I've been trying to do all my life? This is like the greatest challenge to doing that. In other words, they wanted me to do a major operation. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to heal in my own way. But of course, I didn't know how it would turn out. So that was a major challenge. The challenge, and a completely different kind of challenge, is when you do things the way I've done them, like really wholeheartedly dedicated, you know, every day. It's not like I do a bit of painting on the side for a weekend course and then I put up my paintings, you know. But I did it I've been doing it for 30 years, for a very long time on a daily basis. So, but still you're kind of pushed into that corner of, people don't understand what it takes to be a professional musician, a professional artist, where you dedicate your life. They see that as a hobby. And if you don't, and if you do it professionally and you're not like making tons of money, then they don't have an appreciation for that. And I think that was one of the most difficult things. And I think that's what life is giving me now. It's giving me some kind of recognition by being a coach, because people understand that. It's easy to understand. It's easy, you know, I am earning a good living. Whereas before, I was composing my own music that a lot of people love, but again, it doesn't fit into any category. My paintings, a lot of people love, but it's not mainstream contemporary art world, so to speak, where you can say, oh, I fit into this, and then I'm represented by this gallery, and, you know, that was never my way to go. So I think the greatest challenge was that, not being seen, not being recognized by lots of people or, you know, society. And also it's a very lonely path, mm. you know, because only I decide this is what I'm going to do. This is why I'm doing it. So that was probably the greatest challenge, yeah. is following that inner voice, regardless of whether I was going to be acknowledged or congratulated or even successful with it, you know?
Mm. So what about what keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? Do you have a vision then, or do you have just a mission to be happy in life? Like, what is it that keeps you going on this path?
It's a good question. Yes, I do feel like I have some kind of a mission, not just for myself, But there are certain things that I would like to bring into the world. So I think it's twofold. In the creative part is like exploring creativity and exploring ways to translate spiritual or philosophical ideas into something tangible, whether it's music or an image, a painting or a sculpture. And so for people to, so people can actually use their senses to perceive that, but maybe also feel what's behind it. So it connects them with something larger. That would be something that I would like to achieve. I also feel that many people nowadays, well, there are obviously people who are religious and they have their religion and church or whatever, but a lot of people don't and are struggling because they don't feel that connection to something larger. And I think it's my own way of connecting with that that I want to also want to share in different ways.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So now that you're on this path of, you know, doing this career business coaching and that, what new possibilities have opened up for you?
You mean where am I going from here?
Yeah.
Good question. Well, I feel this is not the last station on the way. You know, there's more. And I feel it's happening very subtly in a way. Through my writing, that's one of the things. So I've started writing, like, for instance, that's how you and I have met, this book project, The Thousand Ripple Effects. And I've also just published an article in a coaching magazine. And I've been asked by somebody whether I would like to be part of her book. She's writing about creative people. And so she wants me to be in this book as well. And I feel like these little things are happening where I'm able to share with more people and on a different level than, say, in a one-to-one coaching situation that is very personal. So that's one thing. I'm also writing another book where I want to share what I've learned, you know, about this loving myself, but also how we co-create with life. In other words, I strongly believe that I can set out, you know, to do something, but I can't do it on my own. And it's life that kind of takes me by the hand. And that is what I shared actually in my story for the Ripple Effects book, is, you know, how I started composing, which is something I could have never imagined or designed as a path myself, how it came about. But that's a whole new different story. Mm-hmm. What else? I'd like to put some courses together to online, hopefully. And I would love to do some retreats for people, you know, like do courses and for people to come and share what I've learned and my coaching. That's what I see at the moment.
Yeah, I love that. It sounds very exciting. Like your future that you're looking forward to is just, you know, so much can happen, isn't it? Like just by going from one thing to the next, like the Thousand Ripple Effects, and you're on a podcast, and then, you know, then you're looking to a retreat. I love it because retreats is where I'm going as well. So I just love that idea. So very, very exciting. All right, let's do a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay.
All right. Do you have a favorite book?
I thought for a long time about that, and it's a difficult one. I've had favorite books along the way. I don't have one at the moment, but one that I really liked is Chicken Soup for the Soul, I think it's called.
Yes.
So it tells you a little bit about what I like. I like books that are insightful, but that are also real true stories, which is maybe why I'm participating in this book. I think life writes the most incredible stories, and I love, you know, stories that are just inspiring.
Yeah. I think Jack Canfield started that series and I just love it because he's someone I just follow all the time. Love his stuff. Who's a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
Again, I don't have a mentor as such. I have books, I have films, I have music, I have things that inspire me. You know, I can't say that I actually had a mentor or people in my life in that sense haven't played such, you know, my teachers were sometimes actually more of a negative example, if I may say so.
No, I understand that, yeah. What daily ritual works best for you?
At the moment, I'm very strong on the self-love one. So I've committed to doing that usually in bed, because that's when I really, like, I'm totally switched off from any outside sensory input. If I wake up early, or if I wake up in the night, it's a form of meditation, self-love, but also of love and connecting with the world.
Oh, beautiful. Do you have a favorite food?
I love Indian food, and I love millionaire's biscuits, if you know what that is.
Oh, I don't know what millionaire's biscuits are.
I don't think a lot of people do, actually. No, it's an English thing, but you can actually find it in France. You can't get it in Switzerland. It's a combination of shortbread with caramel and a bit of chocolate, and it's out there, I tell you. And it's a good thing I can't get it here, because I probably would put on too much weight.
Oh, sounds wonderful to me. Do you like the country or the city?
Sorry, my favorite country or city?
Or do you like living in the country or the city? Either way.
Oh, I see. Country or city. Yeah, country.
Mm, yeah. Nice. Do you have a piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
Obviously, love who you are. Love where you're at. Love your life the way it is. That'll create, I think, the greatest space for things to happen. If you're fighting either who you are, where you're at, your surroundings, then you're using a lot of energy to actually fix it so it remains that way. Because what we focus on is what we materialize, basically, is what I've learned. So, and coupled with that, trust life, even if it looks like it's against you.
All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently, or tell your former self?
Cool. That's an interesting one. I don't think you said that to me before. Surprise, surprise. What would I tell myself? I would probably tell myself that everything would be okay, for sure. I would tell myself to, actually, the advice that I just, you know, you asked me what advice would I give to others. I think I would give myself the same advice, basically. Obviously, knowing what I know now, I would start a lot earlier with some things.
Yeah.
Like loving myself, loving... but, you know, you only can't get to this point because you had to go through those things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today, Tessa. Would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
Okay, well, it's lovely talking to you. It's really easy. Thank you for making it so fun and easy to talk to you. It's a great pleasure. And the easiest way probably for people to remember also is just my name. It's Tessa Richter, all in one, .ch, which is Switzerland. That's my website. That's one of my websites. I do have another one. It's called Inner Pulse, all in one word, .ch. And that's probably the easiest way to connect. I am on LinkedIn, I am on Facebook, I'm on Instagram as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Igniters, Tessa has been creating her own story and believes that you need to love who you are, where you're at, and love your life the way it is, as this creates a space for things to happen. If you want to contact Tessa, go to her website, tessarichter.ch or innerpulse.ch. For more information on becoming grounded and centered so you can deal with a world of chaos, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.